Well, we want to talk about that king today. Some of you may be asking, which one of the commandments is in Matthew 14? We have been studying the Ten Commandments, and this week when I sit down at my desk, early in the week, or last week actually, I just felt led of the Lord to go in a different direction, for today anyway. It's a lot of folks in our church going through difficult times with physical and different types of situations, and I just felt led of the Lord to preach a message that very familiar, and I just want you to take some truths with you that I believe would be very helpful as you go through some difficult situations in your life. It may be financial, may be physical, may be marital, it may even be spiritual. I don't know what your situation is. I know that I have been asked to pray about several things that are going on within our church family. Many of them I have made aware to you. And so you may have a situation that no one knows about, but I want to tell you this morning, God knows about it. And I want to help you from the scripture to lean on Him, to put your trust in the Lord during this time. I want to give you some truth, and I pray that you would take this truth home with you. There's really only two thoughts that I want to give you today in a very familiar passage of Scripture. Many of you know that the book of Matthew is written from Jesus as the King and His kingdom. Here in chapter number 14, we have pretty much three pictures of Jesus as a king. We have, first of all, how the king deals with his enemies. In verses 1 through 12, John the Baptist is beheaded. Herod took his head because of intimidation, really. Verse number 13, it tells us how Jesus dealt with it, very cautiously. Look, if you would, in verse number 13. When Jesus heard of it, meaning the beheading of John, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. He dealt with it wisely. He said, now's not the time. Sometimes you just have to walk away from situations. When you're emotionally attached, when things lay heavy on you, you just have to, you pick and choose. And you say, you know, I'm going to deal with this wisely and cautiously, because there's a lot at stake here. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus did. And then the scripture teaches in verses 15 through verse number 21, another very familiar account in the scripture, the feeding of the 5,000. And this is Jesus dealing with the multitudes. How did Jesus deal with the multitudes? Well, he dealt with the enemies cautiously. He deals with the multitudes compassionately. Notice, if you would, in verse number 14, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude. And the scripture says, and he was moved with compassion toward them. That's just like Jesus, isn't it? Now, the disciples had a different take. And that leads us to the final part of the chapter, which I want to speak to you about. The disciples said in verse number 15, notice in chapter 14, verse 15, and when it was even, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. He said, you know, the disciples said, you know, we ain't got time for this. Send them away. This is not the time or the place to deal with this. Now, maybe sometimes as a Christian, you feel that way. Maybe God gives you an opportunity, or maybe God has given you an opportunity to minister to people, and your reaction is like this. Listen, I'm tired. And if you go back and you look at what the disciples had been through, they were tired. They'd been on a vigorous schedule leading up to this. They were tired. They were ready for rest, and they thought it was time for rest. As a matter of fact, if you'll look at verse number 13, the scripture says that Jesus departed by ship into a desert place apart. They wanted to find a little place to come apart so they could rest. They'd had a vigorous schedule. And yet there was a need, and the need was presented. The people were hungry. The people that had thronged to Jesus were hungry. And Jesus was ready to minister to them because he was moved with compassion. And had he taken advice from his counsel, the disciples, well, we we wouldn't be talking about the feeding of the 5,000. Somebody say amen right there. And so Jesus moved with compassion. Now Jesus said, I want to teach these disciples, I want to teach them some things about life. And so instead of sitting them down on a grass side of a hill or a grove somewhere, he said, I tell you what I want you to do. Look at verse number 22. As Pastor David read in your hearing, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. Now you know this story. This is Jesus dealing with his disciples. This is the third leg of this chapter. Okay, we saw him dealing with his enemies. He did it cautiously, with wisdom. We've seen him dealing with the multitudes. He did it compassionately. He fed the 5,000 and even took up 12 fragments, right? 12 baskets of fragments. And now he's going to deal with his disciples. And I think this is where you and I come in. All right? So the disciples were going through a difficult time. They were tired, and they were kind of getting a little edgy, and they began to get a wrong view of what ministry and what their calling was. And so Jesus said, I've got a storm for you. Now maybe today you're in a storm and you're wondering some things about why I am going through what I am going through. I'm going to give you some take-homes, and I hope you'll do it. I'm going to give you just two thoughts, but in those thoughts are a lot of just take-homes, and I hope you'll do this. Number one, I'm going to talk to you about some things you should know about this passage of Scripture. There's just some things you ought to know about this, okay? About this passage of Scripture. There's just some things that we as God's people ought to know. If you've been saved for any length of time, there's just some things you ought to know about how God deals with his people. And we're going to see it right here. I mean, listen, they're in a storm. They're going through a difficult time. As a matter of fact, if you've read this carefully when Pastor David was reading, you see they're terrorized. I mean, they're struggling. They're going through a difficult time. They're fearful. They just don't know which way to go. And so it's a hard time for them. And I don't know that there's not many people under the sound of my voice today, and if not here, maybe listening by way of live stream, say, that's where I'm at, preacher. Well, you're in a good place then, because you're going to hear some biblical teaching and some exhortation on what you need to do. So number one, some things you need to know, and then we're going to look at some things you need to do. All right? When you're in a storm, there's just some things you need to know. When you're going through trials, there's just some things you need to know. And then it has to go beyond knowledge. It has to go to some things you need to do. See, when you know some things but don't do them, it'd be best if you didn't even know them. And so you have to take the things that you know and you have to put them into practice so that the things that you know become the things that you do. So we're going to look at that here. You know this story, right? I'd say probably if you've been saved for any length of time, you know this account in Scripture. Jesus went walking on the water to the disciples in the time of their distress, in the time of their storm. So let's look at a few things you should know. First of all, I want you to write this down. I hope that you will. You say, well, I'll remember it. Well, you probably won't, but you can go back and listen to it. That's the great thing about video. Somebody say amen. But if you want to write it down, you do that. But I want you to listen carefully, all right? Let's look at this. Number one, he brought you here. That's the thing you need to understand. Now, I want to talk just a little bit about storms before I get in particular here. There's storms of life. Certainly, some storms are correction. And I want you to hear what I'm saying this morning. Some storms are correction. God uses storms to discipline his people. And you may be under the disciplining hand of God if you're going through a storm. But you may not be. You may be right in the center of God's perfect will. So there are storms of correction. Jonah is one of the greatest examples of storms of correction that I know of in the Bible. God told Jonah to go one way, he went the other. And so God sent a storm. That's right. You say, well, what happened? Jonah ended up where God sent him. Now he had to learn some hard lessons. That's right. But he did end up where God sent him, and he did end up doing what God told him to do. And the whole city of Nineveh got converted. So there are storms of correction, but there's also storms of perfection. where God grows our faith. I believe that's what's happening here, and I'm going to tell you why here in just a moment. You have to understand, God brought you here. God has put you in a tight situation. God has put you where you are if you've been obedient. And they were. Notice in verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. They were just doing what Jesus said to do when they encountered this storm. And so you must keep this in mind. I am doing what Jesus said to do. I am doing what the Word of God said to do, and yet I am encountering a trial. I'm encountering a storm. Why? Well, God's getting ready to do some very special things in your life. That's why. God was getting ready to do some very special things in their lives. Now, in the beginning of this, I'm sure they doubted that. Maybe there's someone here this morning that's saying, well, I don't know what good could come out of this. Can I tell you, God can bring good about out of anything? Amen. He knows how to do that. And so I want you to pay attention to a couple of words here. Look, if you would, in verse number 22, straightway. That means immediately. God said immediately. Straightway. I want you to get on this ship. It is urgent. And so God said, it is needful that you get on this ship and that you go. I know there's going to be a storm out there. God knows everything. Jesus knows everything. I know there's going to be a storm out there. But nonetheless, I want you to get on the boat, and I want you to go into the storm, right? And so you have to remember this. God brought me here. So the word straightway, look at this next word, constrained. Not only was it urgency, he constrained them. He compelled them. He said, you must get on this ship. It is deemed necessary that you get on this ship. There is something that you need in your life where you are right now that you need some teaching that's going to help you that nothing else will do. So you say, why am I going through what I'm going through? Because this is the way that God has chosen to teach you some things that otherwise you wouldn't learn. And so that's the first thing I want you to understand, that God got you here. He brought you to where you are, even in a storm. You say, God would put people in a storm? Absolutely. He did them. Question, did Jesus tell his disciples to get on the boat and go to the other side? Answer, yes. Does Jesus know everything? Is Jesus God? Yes. Is God omniscient? Does he know everything? Yes. Did he know there was going to be a storm on this water? Yes. Did he send them into it? Yes. He brought them there. He brought you where you are too. All right? Now, I could give you several reasons. This is not my message. But if you'll read John's account of this, you'll find that when Jesus fed those 5,000, they came to take him by force to make him king. And Jesus said, oh, no. Oh, no. I'll never be king. You don't put the crown before Calvary. And he said, this is not good for these men to hear. They'll get a mixed up view of why I came. And without storms in life, we kind of get a muddled view of who Jesus is and why he came. Storms have a way of clearing some things up, brethren. They just do. And so they wanted to come and take Jesus by force and make him king. And he said, guys, he said, listen, get on the ship, and I want you to, he said, come, hurry, come on now, come on, get on the ship, straightway. And he constrained them, come on now, come on. I want you to go to the other side. It'd be better for you to be out there in the fury of the storm than to be right here in the favor of the crowd. He said, this is not good for you. See, God sees what's not good for us along the way, and sometimes he'll change courses on us and say, I want you to go here. God had their best interest in mind. Can I tell you, God always has his children's best interest in mind. I need somebody to say amen right there. God always has the best interest of his people in mind. And so number one, he brought me here. Number two, he's praying for you. Notice if you would, in verse number 23. I'm in Matthew 14, verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And the Bible says, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. Jesus was up in those mountains praying. What do you think he was praying about? I think he was praying for these disciples. I really do. As a matter of fact, I think I could show for sure that he was. If you'll hold your place here and turn to Mark's account, that'll be in Mark chapter 6. This is Mark's account of this account in the scripture. Mark chapter number 6. Would you turn there? So number one, Here's some things you need to know. He brought you where you are. Number two, he's praying for you. All right? Look in Mark chapter number 6. Look, if you would, in verse number 48. Mark chapter 6 and verse number 48. The Bible says, if you'll read verse 47, it says, when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea. He was alone on the land. Jesus had gone into the mountain. And notice what it says here in verse number 48. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And I want you to remember that, because we're going to come back to that. He saw them. So Jesus not only brought them to where they were, but he prayed for them. He knew where they were. Even though he was not in the boat with them this time. There have been other times Jesus had been with them in the boat when the storm came, but not this time. He saw them. Can I tell you, Jesus sees you too? The all-seeing eye of God knows exactly what you're going through. As a matter of fact, he put you right where you are. He did. If you're obedient to God's way, if you're obedient, I didn't say perfect now. There's a difference between perfection and obedience. You need to get that worked out quick if you don't have it worked out. But if you've been obedient and yet you find yourself in a storm, it's not of correction, it's a perfection. God has something special for you, and the only way you're going to learn it is for you to go through a storm. For you to go through some time where God can grow your faith so he can stretch you to do some things that you wouldn't do outside of going through a storm. Jesus saw them. He was praying for them. Aren't you glad that we have a great high priest? How would you feel if I told you, hey, I just want you to know that Jesus is in that room over there and he's praying for you? Would that pick you up a little bit? Well, Jesus is not in that other room over there praying for you, but he is in the throne room praying for you. I want you to understand this now. Sometimes we forget that. I'm glad you asked me to pray for you, and I'm glad you can ask brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for you, but there's one that's praying for you that's far greater than your pastor or your Christian brother. There is a great high priest in heaven who ever liveth to make intercession for us. And I'm here to tell you, he's touched, the Bible says in Hebrews 4, with the feelings of our infirmities. He was not only saw them, he was having compassion on them and had concern for them, as we shall see in just a moment. So number one, here's some things you should know. He brought you where you are. Number two, he's praying for you. Number three, as we go back to Matthew chapter number 14, he will come to you. Where you are. Jesus will come to you. Did you know that? Matthew 14, I want you to notice what Jesus does in verse number 24. Now the Bible says, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, which by the way is just, it's a terrible predicament to be in. The ship was in the midst, all right? Right in the middle. Something tells me that the wind had blown them off course a little bit. Sometimes storms can get you off course a little bit. Am I right, folks? You listening to the pastor today? Sometimes storms can get you off course. And here they were in a predicament. They were right in the middle. Do we turn and go back, or do we go the other way? Right in the middle. Right when they had decisions to make, the storm was raging. Notice the description that the Bible says that gives us in verse number 24. But when the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, the wind was contrary. It was the fourth watch of the night, which is from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., which is the darkest hour of the night. I mean, listen, these men were terrorized. They were in fear for their lives. They didn't know if they was going to make it to the other side. They didn't know if they was going to make it through this storm. Maybe there's someone here that's really wondering, I don't know if I'm going to make it out of this. I don't see a way out of here. I don't know how this is going to end. Well, I'm here to tell you that Jesus, he brought you there. He's praying for you. He cares about you. God doesn't leave his children alone. God will never leave you nor forsake you. God's not going to say, now listen, I got you here, now you get yourself out. That's not the way God works. See, there's just some things we ought to know. There's just some things we ought to know about God. And that's not the way God deals with his children. The scripture says that he came to them. Notice if you would in verse number 25. And the scripture says, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them. Isn't that something? Can I tell you, when you're in the storm, Jesus will come to you. He really will. So he brought them to where they were. The Bible says not only did he bring them where he was praying for them, but he went to them. And he'll do the same for you. He'll come to you, and he'll minister to you. I find it very interesting the way that he went to them. Don't think that Jesus was a show-off now. Jesus didn't go to them walking on the water so he could impress them. They had already seen him back in chapter number 8. They had already seen him calm the storm. Jesus went walking on the water to help them. He went to help them to grow, and that's our next point. Not only will Jesus come to you, but Jesus will help you grow in your storm. Jesus went walking on the very thing that was causing them the greatest fear. They were afraid of the storm. It was the storm that was disrupting them. It was the storm that was contrary to them. It was the storm that caused them fear. It was the storm that caused them doubt. And Jesus went walking on it to them. He didn't do that to show off. He did it to teach them something, because he wants to teach you something. That thing or those things that worry you the most, or that hinder us the most, Jesus wants us to know, I'm Lord over that. I'm Lord over that. And he said, as a matter of fact, I can make you Lord over it. I want you to notice what happens here. Jesus just doesn't want us to know that he's Lord over it. He wants us to know that he'll make us Lord over it, if we will allow him to. There was a man on the boat who said, I think I'd like to try that. But before he did, something happened. And I want you to notice. Have you wrote it down? Some things you ought to know. Do you know that if you are a child of God and you have no unconfessed sin in your life and you're in a storm, he brought you there. He brought you there. Number two, he's praying for you. Number three, he will come to you. He will come to you. Jesus is not going to leave us in a storm alone, brethren. Oh, I know what the devil says, but the devil is a liar and the father of lies. He's a liar. He wants you to believe that God has left you to yourself and that there's no help. Don't believe him. Believe God. Believe God. That's what Paul said in the storm. I believe God. You believe God too. Amen. And then he said this, he said, I want to help you grow. So he went walking to them on the water to teach them. Now I want you to notice what happens when he went walking to them on the water. Verse number 25, look at verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. You know, we'll get to this in a moment, but they were not expecting Jesus. Boy, I tell you. Sad place we get in our lives when we don't expect God to help us. It's a sad place to be in. When we don't realize that God loves us so much that he's going to help us, we just don't take into account that God's going to help us. And yet the devil wants you to live that way. The devil wants me to live that way. He wants me to live like you're on your own. You're in this. Now you've got to get out of it. As a matter of fact, they were toiling and rowing. They were trying to get out of it. But Jesus said, I'm going to help you out of this. I've come to help you out of this. And before he done anything, please don't miss this. Notice what the scripture says. So he said, I will come to you. And he said, I want to help you grow. All right? He said, I want to grow your faith. I want to grow your faith. This is some things you should know. I want to help you grow. Now I want you to watch this. All right? Straightway in verse number 27, there's our word again. It was back in verse 22. It said, Immediately, straightway, Jesus spake unto them. Can I tell you, Jesus will not only come to you, if you'll listen now. Could you imagine? I want you to listen. Do you understand what's happening here? The wind's blowing. There is a tumultuous storm. You ever been out when it's the wind's howling and the rain's blowing and there's a storm? It's hard to hear. And Jesus spoke to them. And they heard him. He spoke to them. He didn't speak to the storm. He spoke to them. See, sometimes we'll say, God, take care of the storm. Instead of, God, take care of me in the storm. And that's what Jesus wanted to teach them. You need to know this. Jesus doesn't always do away with the storm. He just wants to take care of you in the midst of it, because there's lessons to learn. There's things that God wants me and you to learn in the storms of life that we could learn no other way. And so he didn't come and say, "Peace, be still," as he had before. He said unto them, look in verse number 27, "Be of good cheer." What a statement. I mean, there's rain filling the boat, and the boat being tossed, you know, and the wind's blowing, and man, they thought they saw a ghost out on the water. It says they thought he was a spirit in verse number 26, and they cried out for fear. "Ah, we're dying. This is it. This is my last day." They're saying their final goodbyes. "It's been nice working with you, John." Amen. "Been nice knowing you, Peter." And the Lord Jesus says, "Be of good cheer." What a statement. What a statement. Hey, guys, I believe what he's saying is, have y'all forgotten? You just seen me feed 5,000 men plus women and children with a few loaves and a couple of fish. Well, how soon we forget, right? I mean, the day hadn't even closed and they've already forgotten. You know, in the storm, it's good just to remember, this is not my first storm. I made it through the others. By the grace of God, and by the grace of God, I'll make it through this one. Amen. I pray somebody's getting some help. These are just some things we should know about God. What do you know about God? Do you know that God brought you where you are? God sends us into these situations oftentimes, not to discipline us, but to develop us and to grow our faith. Number two, he's praying for you. Number three, he will come to you. Number four, he will help you. Don't allow your insufficiency to get in the way of God's sufficiency. Now, please listen to me. Jesus was able. And he went up to them, and he did not get in the boat at that time. He did not calm the storm. He spoke to them. And the scripture says in verse number 27, he said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Now, in verse number 28, Peter answered him. Now, I want you to see this, and then we're going to get some things you should do, and I'll be through, okay? Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." That's a pretty bold statement, right? He could have just said, "Lord, if it's you, calm the storm." I encourage you to go back to Matthew 8 sometime and read it. There was another time when Jesus was on the ship. He was in the hinder part of the ship and was asleep, and this great storm came. And they went back and they said, "Master, carest not that we perish." And he got up and he went out to the bow of the ship and he rebuked the winds and the waves. And the sea became calm because he is the master of the sea, amen, of the wind and everything else. But he didn't do that here. Because he said, "I want you to go beyond that." And we'll see why in just a moment. He said, "I want you to learn more about who I am and what I can do." He said, "There's just some things you need to know about me." And so he said, "I want you to just relax. And I want you to cheer up." Can I tell you, Christians can smile in the storm. Christians can have good cheer. As a matter of fact, Jesus said this in John in chapter 16. He said, "In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." That's right. You say, "Well, you know, I don't feel like smiling." Well, smile knowing what God's going to do. Because God takes care of his children, brethren. God takes care of his children. And you can be of a good cheer. Now, you may not wear it on your face, but your heart can smile real big when you know God's in control. Amen. And so he said, Peter said, "Lord, if it's you," he said, "then bid me to come unto thee." Now, this tells me that Peter heard him, and he said, "That voice, I'm almost sure." I'm going to tell you now, sometimes there's some things you should know. Sometimes when you're in your storm, you'll hear some things, and you'll say, "Well, I think now." Am I right, church? I think this is God speaking to me. How can I be sure? Now, I want you to watch this now. Jesus spoke again. And the scripture says in verse number 28 that Peter answered to him, and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said one word, "Come." That's all it took. Now, if Peter did not know, if he was uncertain of who it was before this, I am 100% sure. Don't you think for a moment that Peter would have got out of that boat and headed toward Jesus? Was he not 100% sure that this was Jesus speaking to him? Amen. Well, I tell you, the Word of God, one word. Do you see what happened there? One word generated enough faith in a man's heart to get out of a sinking ship and to walk on the water. One word. One word. Well, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Some things you should know. You should know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When you're going through a storm, don't put your Bible down. Pick it up. Don't stay out of church. Come to church. Amen. I know how trials and storms do. They want to try to get you away and move you away. But the Bible clearly teaches it's a time to move toward it. Final thing you should know, and then as I said, I'll give you these things. I'm just going to name these things. Notice, if you would, in verse number, you know how this, you know, Peter, we'll look at this on some things you should do. Peter started looking at the winds and he got fearful and he began to sink. But I'm glad that he didn't say, well, God's tired of helping me. You listening? Well, I've asked Jesus to help me so much, I'm just not going to ask him anymore. God's tired of me asking him for help. I don't think Peter had that mindset when he was going down. He said, Lord, save me! Amen. Well, I tell you right now, that's the way a lot of people need to start praying. We get all these sanctimonious prayers, and we pray in the old English, and you know, we start saying all this stuff. I'm going to tell you right now, when you get desperate, your prayer will become like Peter's. Lord, save me! God, I just need you to do something for me. Amen. God, if you don't get me out of this storm, I'm not going to make it. God, if you don't help me, I'm not going to come through this. I need you, Lord. God, do something for your sake. I need you. I tell you, Jesus responded too, didn't he? Amen. Let's look at our final thing that you should know. He'll bring you through. Verse 22, look at it. He said, disciples, I want you to go before me to what? The other side. Look at verse number 34. And when they were gone over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. They went to the other side. Why? Because that's what Jesus told them to do. You'll make it through the storm too. If you'll just follow these things. He brought me here. He's praying for you. He will come to you. He will help you grow. He will see you through. I pray you know that about the storm. Now let me give you these about some things you can do that you're in the storm. It helps to know these things. Number one, don't quit. Please listen to me. Notice if you would in verse number 22, there's a very interesting word. Remember when I read it in Mark, I said, don't forget that word. It's contrary. When the winds are contrary, that means they're in your face. Now I want you to listen to this. Verse number 22, the Bible says that they were sailing and they got in the mist and the winds were contrary. Don't miss this. It would have been easy to say, let's just turn around and go the way of the wind and go back to the other side where we left from. But that's not what Jesus told them to do. It is never okay to go against God's word. Now, I want you to get this. It would have been very easy for them to justify going the way of the wind. Can I tell you that the seas of obedience are full of contrary winds? The devil's always going to be trying to blow us off course, trying to get us to go back, trying to get us to quit and stop. But don't you quit and don't you stop and don't you give up. You just keep on rowing and towing. Amen. They were toiling and rowing. They didn't give up. Amen. Thank God they didn't give up. And don't you give up either. There's times that we all want to quit. Oh, now, preacher, I wouldn't admit that. Well, why not? It's so. You can't tell me you've been safe for any length of time and you haven't contemplated just going another way or quitting. At least in your heart, you may not have spoke it in your mouth. It was Job's wife that said, just curse God and die. And so the thing you should do is don't quit. Don't even stop. You keep treading water where you are. Jesus is on the way. Amen. You keep rowing the boat. Jesus is on the way. You won't have to get on the other side by yourself, as we shall see in just a moment. Jesus will get you where he sent you. He'll see you through. Number two, some things you should do. Some things you should do. Expect God to help you. They were not. They were surprised. They said, it's a spirit. They should have known, where's Jesus? They should have been looking around. Where's Jesus at? Amen. Where's Jesus? He should be coming. Why? We expect our Heavenly Father to help us. Amen. That's what grace is. We heard it yesterday. That's what grace is. God helping us, brethren. Not because we deserve it. So, well, they didn't deserve help. Well, you don't either. I don't either. We don't deserve help. That's why God's a God of grace. That's why we call it grace, brethren. Because God helps us, whether we deserve it or not. And you know and I know we don't deserve it. Number three, listen for his voice. Because he will come to you and he will speak to you and he will tell you what to do. And sometimes he'll tell you some things to do that'll stretch you outside of yourself. Peter said, Lord, is that you? He said, it is. Come. Oh, I can't do that. Well, he didn't say come if you can. He said come. Stretched Peter a little bit, didn't it? It did. Sometimes in the storm, in order to grow, God's got to get you out of your comfort zone. God's got to get me out of my comfort zone. He may ask me to do some things that I'm not accustomed to doing and some things I don't feel comfortable with where I'm at in my life. But he'll say, listen, you've got to go to another level. You've got to step it up. And so he said, I want you to come. Number four, keep your eyes on Jesus in the storm. I hear people all the time, and I've been guilty of it myself. And I'm asking God to help me, and God has helped me through the years. If we're not careful when we're going through difficult times, that's all we'll talk about. We won't ever talk about how God can help and what God can do and the power of God and the help of God and the grace of God and the love of God. Amen. Come on. Amen. We'll be talking about all the problems. We'll make much of our problems to the much of Jesus if we're not careful now. If we're not careful. I know, listen, I understand. Storms are rough. And they're tough. But God doesn't want us to focus on the storms. God wants us to focus on the Savior. And so I pray you'd do that. Then finally, look if you would in verse number 33. Would you do that? The Bible says that when they went to the other side, they that were on the ship came and worshiped him. When he got in the ship, the winds in verse number 32 ceased. Verse 32. And then they which were on the ship came and worshiped him, saying, I want you to watch this. Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. What happened? Turn back just a couple of pages in your Bible to chapter number 8. I've been alluding to this account. In chapter 8, the scripture says this, okay? The scripture says in chapter 8, look, if you would, in verse number 27, Jesus was on the boat this time, and there was a great storm that came, and Jesus stepped down the bow of the ship and said, peace be still, and there's a great calm. I want you to notice what the disciples said. Don't miss this. This is what storms will do for you. The first storm got them to this level. This was the level they reached. Verse number 27 of Matthew chapter number 8. But the men, that was the disciples, marveled, saying, what manner of man is this? That even the winds and the sea obey him. Wow! That's not what they said this time. Did you get it? Chapter 14, verse 33. They said, now we know, look at it, of a truth. We've been thinking about this. We've had this suspicion. You've been telling us who you are. And we've seen some things that led us to believe that. No doubt now. Of a truth. Thou art the Son of God. Amen. Can I tell you, storms will help you to see who he is more clearly. It just will. It just will. And so I pray that that's what we would do. When we go through storms, we would know some things. And some of you are going through storms right now. You say, well, I'm not. Well, just hold on. Just hold on. You're going to need this one day. You may need it before the sun sets tonight. All right? I don't wish that upon anyone. I just know that in this life you shall have tribulations. And I know that that the scripture says that man born of a woman, listen, a few days and full of trouble. You're going to have some difficult times. I don't wish it upon you. You don't have to. Just going to come. And during those times, you need to know some things. And I need to know some things. And we need to do some things to weather the storm. How many have ended up shipwrecked along the way because they didn't know some things about their God, about the captain of their salvation, and did not do some things that they did know? But here's just some good, simple instruction. Let's stand to our feet. Now, we've looked at some things we should know and some things we should do. Maybe there's someone here that would say, well, preacher, I don't know about any of that. And I want you to listen to me. Remember when the disciples, when Jesus fed the 5,000, and what the disciples said? Send them away. When you get home today, I want you to read the end of this chapter. You'll not find that. When they got to the other side, they were people bringing people from all cities around to Jesus that they might just touch the hem of his garment, that they might be made perfectly whole. You'll not find one word where the disciples are saying, just send them away. You know why? Because hard times, listen to me now, will make you a better minister for Jesus Christ. It'll make you be compassionate toward the needs of others. Sometimes God has allow us to experience a little hardship in our life so that we can relate to others that are going through hardship. It just makes us better Christians. It makes us better ministers. And I don't mean preachers. I mean just ministers of compassion to others. As we bow our heads together,